Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, the innovator of violence, the landlord of the House of Hardcore and the heart and soul of professional wrestling, Tommy Dreamer, and I have two awesome guests. One from AEW Dynamite and Rampage, QT Marshall, joins us here on the Busted Open Podcast. And you don't want to miss this one. Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, the Good Brothers in studio right now on the Busted Open Podcast. He is the sports entertainer of the week. Mm. And I'm telling you, he's Jersey strong, he's a sharp dresser, and he's one of my favorite all-time wrestlers. And that is the great QT Marshall. Sir, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you? I mean, you gave me that introduction. I got a t-shirt on, you know? I didn't have any of my shirts pressed. And, you know, I thought today was, it's a lousy day out here. So I figured today's a t-shirt day. And I'm always representing the factory, you know?
I know you are. And that's fine. Look at me. I'm a mess. But I'm usually a mess. You, sir, sharp dresser. There is no doubt about it. But I appreciate you coming on the show this morning.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to talk about a lot of cool things going on. And, you know, it's always fun to be on Busted Open. It's my first time with Tommy, though. Tommy and I go way back, so I'm excited.
What up, QT? I got a question for you because Dave says your name differently than I do. Can you tell me or help me with this pronunciation of your name because I don't want to say it wrong?
Well, you know, Dave's got it right. It's Marshall.
Yeah, thank you.
Nice. All right.
So that's it. I mean, I understand. You look at it, you think of Penny Marshall. Mm-hmm. It's not Marshall. It's Marshall.
Well, I just know as QT.
As my mother told me, you know.
Okay. I just know you as QT. So what's going on? What are you doing?
Nothing. Getting ready to go to Dallas for Battle of the Belts and live Rampage. So just waiting on, you know, the day to finish up so I can head to the airport and, you know, get ready to travel again.
We were talking a lot. A lot of people are talking about last night's Dynamite. Some, of course, want to take the negative, which I do not like. But they're talking about this new giant. How do I say his name? Satnam Singh?
Yeah, Satnam Singh, one in a billion. He was the first ever Indian-born NBA draftee from India. And, you know, he's really special. So I'm excited that they got him out there. And, you know, obviously I read some of the stuff that people were saying about him. Listen, he's brand new,
yeah.
You know, and you got to give him a chance, you know. And I think the best way to put someone out there is – to put him out there with guys with a lot of experience. And, you know, no one knows what he's going to do. It's not like he's going for the world title right now. So
I like what you said already, one in a billion, because he was the first Indian-born player drafted for the NBA, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Wow. He's got it tattooed on his arm, like right over here.
Really?
His humongous arm.
How compare, I know you've been up close in helping him train as well as you were with Shaq. Because Shaq is the biggest human being I've ever been around. And I've wrestled Khali. I've wrestled Paul White. So how big is this guy compared to Shaq?
Yeah, he's probably got an inch or two on Shaq.
What?
I mean, his hands are just – yeah, his hands are, I mean, huge. I mean, no offense to Samoa Joe, but he's got a pretty big head. And you know, his hands almost covered his whole entire head. So it was a pretty cool sight to see.
You know, QT, and obviously you're wearing the T-shirt for the factory representing. And I don't know if a lot of fans understand how much you do with a lot of the new talent that comes in and a lot of the crossover talent that comes in to AEW.
Yeah, I mean, I don't brag about it because that's not the fun story that I want, you know. I think, you know, Tommy could tell you when Double or Nothing first happened, I was the guy passing around bracelets for credentials, you know, and I realized that pretty quickly that I could move up pretty fast if I just worked hard and kept my head down. And that's kind of been my route to success in AEW. Just don't really talk about what you're doing and just do it. Mm-hmm. But I wear a lot of hats, including the one I'm wearing right now. But, you know, it's all fun. I mean, you know, I don't tell this to Tony, but I'd probably end up doing it for free if they needed me to. So, you know, it's just a lot of fun and, you know, getting some of the new talent in there and working with them and, you know, trying to help them as much as I possibly can. You know, you hear a lot of people say they want to come in and help the younger talent and then they beat them on TV. No, I don't, I genuinely do want to help out the younger talent because that's the future right there. So, you know, it's fun. And of course I still need to train myself. So it's not like I'm just sitting in a chair watching.
And you, I mean, dude, I've known you for a long, long time, but your in-ring is so, so good. And that's because of the reps that you've been doing with the inexperienced talent, as well as then once you start dancing with guys who are more experienced, you get better. And I mean, you've also overcome a lot between physical injury and you know, being told that you may not ever do this again, to the point where, you know, you could take that as a negative or wow, I'm just going to give up. But you didn't give up. You turned around your look and your work. So, I mean, that hard work has paid off for you, which is very, very cool. It's not cool if you're a heel for the backstory of it. But, you know, just like you said, I mean, in ECW, all of us did different things out of necessity because it needed, or, hey, I'll do it. And we weren't doing it for the pat on the back. We were doing it because we cared about the company that we worked for.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I always said this from the beginning. I'm going to work really hard so that way when I finally ask to wrestle, they can't say no. And then luckily, they had asked me first, so it kind of worked out. But like you said, I mean, the only way to get good at, you know, pro wrestling is to wrestle. You know, obviously it helps if you're in front of bigger crowds. But at the end of the day, I think just getting those reps in, it really does help out. And I really pride myself on being able to work with anybody. And I think now that I had the little program with Hook and the match with Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland, I think it goes to show that not that they need my help to look good, but at least, you know, I'm not going to make them look bad. Let's put it that way. So, and I've always prided myself on that because I just was taught that if you can make it, you know, the lowest guy on the card look good, that the main event guys are going to want to work with you. But I've yet to see that too much, but, you know, I'm still, you know, crossing my fingers.
But you play that role perfectly, QT. Like, you're at the point now when you come out on that entrance ramp, the crowd just immediately boos. Now, whether that's, you know, Northeast hate for a lot of people, but you do. You play that character absolutely perfect. And I loved what you do and what you've done with Hook. I think it's really taken Hook to that next level because you need that partner. You need that person. And I think you've done a tremendous job.
Well, thanks, Dave. Yeah, I genuinely don't mind being hated. You know, I get a lot of you have go away heat and or someone called it home heat on Twitter yesterday. And I said, is that, you know, the people at home that can't afford tickets? Because when I go out there, you know, it doesn't seem like go away heat when the whole entire crowd is chanting QT sucks. So obviously I'm doing something right. I went through a similar issue when I was in Ring of Honor. I had a match with somebody and I remember talking to, you know, Delirious at the time and saying like, I think, you know, we're kind of onto something. He didn't understand what I meant. And then when I told him like, well, I'm in there with one of your best baby faces and the crowd is chanting that I suck, you know, that, and it's not just when I'm on offense. So that usually means something. And that doesn't mean I should be a top guy, but it does mean that you can help, you know, get your other guys over by putting them in there with me, you know, and that's kind of the role that I always wanted. You know, so like I said, I don't complain about the wins and losses as much as everyone else does. I'm just happy to be out there. And like I said, if I can elevate some other talent, you know, in the process, then I think I'm doing my job because at the end of the day, as much as, you know, everyone wants to be a world champion. And of course I do as well, but you know, my other job behind the scenes is much more important, and the future of the company is much more important to me.
I always am under the guise any great heel can keep their heat or get their heat back. And that's when wins and losses don't matter, because if you are hated, they will continue to hate you. If you're a babyface and you always lose, sometimes you need to get a victory because you're always letting your people down. But as a heel, any great heel can get a loss. And just, you know, I look at MJF, how he bitches and moans and it wasn't a pin. Or, you know, even with Kevin Owens talking about his ass kicking from Steve Austin, he's like, I went in that match hurt. You make excuses for why you lost, and right away, boom, the people are like, no, you lost because you're a jerk or you weren't good enough. But in your mind, you have an excuse. That's pro wrestling 101.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way when it comes to some of our veterans, like Billy Gunn. I mean, we talk about this a lot with him. He's still Billy Gunn. So if you beat him, I mean, the next night he's still going to get a huge reaction. And I'm not comparing myself to him by any means, but like you said, in the heel manner, I think I am at that point where you could kind of beat me every night and it's really not going to matter too much, which, you know, I don't want to get beaten every night, but at the same time, you know, I think I'm at that level. So I hope so, at least.
Hey, and also when you win, people are just going to get as pissed.
Exactly.
When I win, it's like a Bigfoot sighting because you don't really see it a lot, and then you're not sure if you really did see it. But that's a whole other story.
That's wow. Winning is what we plan on doing Saturday, you know, at New Japan. I'm pretty excited about that. So, you know, it's my nice little segue into that. But
is this your first time working with them?
Yeah. So we did our debut where we offered Carl Fredericks an opportunity to join the factory, and he said no. I don't know why, but he made a mistake, and now we're gonna have a trios match in Chicago for their pay-per-view. It'll be my first time in a New Japan ring, which to me is like a huge accomplishment, because I was told, like, you know, we've talked about this, but I was told I would never work New Japan. And this is the first step to getting to the actual Japan is to work New Japan Strong. So I'm pretty excited. And, you know, I think the fans are going to be in for a real treat, because I plan on doing some stuff that we normally don't see in AEW. But there's just something about working New Japan as opposed to AEW or NXT or any of these other places that you get a little more street credibility with the internet fans. So kind of excited.
I agree. And also, QT, I guess you can kind of pat yourself on the back a little bit, too. There were a lot of doubters with you, and a lot of people didn't think you'd be able to make it, and you have, in a big way. You're on national TV each and every week. You're crossing off something off your own personal bucket list, like wrestling in New Japan. Like, do you take the time to appreciate, like, what you've been able to accomplish and kind of give yourself a little bit of a pat on the back?
Not really. Only because, you know, I really just, you know, try to look forward to more stuff in the future. And I really don't have time to sit back and relax and enjoy everything. But at the same time, I mean, I'm enjoying it in the moment. And when I'm out there, I really try to get lost out there and you know, just soak up every bit of it. But at the same time, you know, like I said, I really like the narrative that I swear I'd never use that word. But I really like the story that, you know, I'm just Cody's friend that he gave an opportunity to, and he pushed for me, and he did everything in his power to get me to succeed. That's the story I like to tell, and that's the one that makes fans hate me. So that's the one I'm going to go with, Dave.
Especially now.
Especially now. Yeah. Yeah, especially now. Now he left me in the dust, and then, you know, I remember when, you know, everything first happened, everyone was like putting up memes of me being locked out of the house and stuff, and that's how my career in AEW was going to be. Pretty exciting stuff, you know?
When you look at AEW, and Tommy and I talked about this a lot during the pandemic, I thought AEW did a phenomenal job, especially at Daly's Place. You know, one of the best matches that I've ever seen was that Lights Out match between Thunder Rosa and Dr. Britt Baker. That was in front of no fans. The only people in attendance were the AEW roster. And now you're coming out of it, jam-packed houses. Talk about that transition, like what you had to deal with during the pandemic, and then now coming out of it and being probably bigger than you were before the pandemic.
Yeah, so this is going to sound bad, but The pandemic was the greatest thing that ever happened in my career. And, you know, it obviously was terrible for the world and the country and, you know, everybody, and wrestling and wrestling fans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it wasn't great for them, but I've been wrestling in front of nobody at wrestling schools for 15 years. So to get out there and be able to have those opportunities when we're filming dark for, you know, 3-4 hours at a time, and just getting those reps in and really, you know, I guess proving that I'm reliable, right? Like, I guess more than anything, I'm reliable. I'm somebody that you could put out there on live TV and you're not really going to have to worry. I might not be the most exciting, right? Like, I know I get a lot of you're boring and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to mess up. You know, I'm not going to be put on Botchamania or anything like that, at least when I'm doing something. And I take a lot of pride in that. And I was able to prove that during the pandemic. Now, the scary part was coming back to a live audience. Because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm reading Twitter and those fans. And then you wonder, like, what's going to happen when we actually go to a building with, you know, with a real audience. And the first time we did was, besides Jacksonville, was Miami. I did the South Beach strap match with Cody. And I just remember I went out there before the live show to kind of, you know, cut a little promo beforehand, get a little heat. Also, it saved some time on the show that I didn't get an entrance. And, you know, I was able to really feel that how much the fans hated me and how they were going to be that night. And that was a huge relief, you know, a lot of stress off my back to know that, you know, they weren't going to walk away. They weren't going to, like, I remember the one guy had the QT equals piss break sign. And I told him before the show, just go take a piss, man. Like, you're really ruining the person's view behind you. You know what I mean? Like, if that's how you really feel. And of course, that's not how he felt. He just wanted to try to get under my skin. Yeah. So it was pretty exciting for me personally. And then, of course, just for everybody. And our fans are some of the best fans out there. You know, they're very forgiving as well. At least the ones in the live arenas, you know, the ones on Twitter, they're going to be who they are. But the ones in the live arena are really fun. They have a great time. Sometimes they sit through almost 5 hours of wrestling. So it's pretty exciting. I'm excited that they're back. And, you know, we just keep putting sold out houses. So,
yeah, we talk to Tony all the time on this show, and we have more callers calling in and saying, I was at AEW and what a great time I had. You know, we did it today as well. And that, I can feel, made me want to be there. I love that adrenaline rush from the crowd because it's such a great relationship. But everybody, it comes across so much on television and, you know, right place, right time. And also the stuff that you said about the pandemic, there are a lot of wrestlers who say the same thing because they had that opportunity. And then there's also wrestlers that didn't do so well during the pandemic. I'm talking about not knowing how to work without fans there. And sure. It did hurt their career as well. So it's cool, man. You've really progressed and, you know, keep up the good work.
One last question, QT, and thanks so much for the time. And I'm glad that we're seeing, I think, the fans seeing a different side of you than just the side that we see on TV. And congratulations on New Japan. Now, I think it's important, but you mentioned social media. And let me ask you about social media really quick, because I get caught up in social media. I think everybody does because it's so instant. Is it just the breeding ground for negative comments, or is there a positive way as a wrestler to use social media?
I think there is a positive way, you know, to really, I mean, obviously being a successful wrestler, from what I've seen, you know, is having that connection with your audience, right?
Yeah.
And Twitter obviously is a great way to connect with each and every fan. The problem is that a lot of them are negative, and they're negative because there's no repercussions. You know what I mean? Like, it's like me talking behind someone's back. You know, I can do that all day. And then when they confront me, you know, face to face, then there's an issue. But to confront me through social media or anything like that, it's kind of, you know, again, there's no repercussions. Like, I think who was it, Mike Tyson said that no one's ever been punched in the face before, so that's why. And I believe it. So you can't let that bother you. I try to have fun with it. You know, when people come after me and stuff, I just, again, I try to make a positive out of it. And also, it's a little easier being a heel on TV.
Mm-hmm.
For the baby faces out there that, you know, the people are really, you know, getting on them, you know, you just got to stick to your guns and, you know, just just keep riding, you know, keep riding the wave, and eventually something will happen, or just turn heel like me. It seems to be a lot easier. Also, I don't have Twitter on my phone. Like, when I want to go on Twitter, I have to actually go to the app store and then click the button again. It just, your life is so much better when you're not, you know, on those apps, just surrounded by negativity. There's enough negativity in the world anyway, so why do it to yourself? And then on top of it, I know there's a lot of people, and I'm guilty of it too, that'll vanity search. It's even worse. Now you're just, you know, looking for the punishment. So, you know, you try to go above and beyond and not worry about that stuff. And again, what we do, and what I've learned from the people that, you know, have taught me, is we have to worry about the paying customer, the person that comes into the building each and every night. And if I walk out there and they all get up and leave, then I know we're doing something wrong. But when someone's music hits and that place goes through the roof, then obviously they're doing something right. You know, last night with Satnam, there was a lot of quiet, you know, when he first came out, but that could be that they're in shock of how big he is. You don't know what it is, you know? And if you go after, or if you try to just read what, you know, four people say on Twitter, you know, thank God, I hope he's not reading it. You know what I mean? And I'm going to talk to him today about it and just make sure he understands that that's not real. The live audience is real. And that's the people that we need to cater to, because I know as a fan, when I'm home and I'm watching something, no matter what it is, baseball, football, and that audience is going crazy, I'm getting more excited at that. So
it's true.
You know, and that's just how it works.
QT, thank you so much for the time. Don't be so much of a stranger. We need to get you on more often, my friend.
Whatever you want, man. I'm excited. I won most talkative in high school, so as you can tell.
I love
it. It's one of the things I like to do.
I love it. Sports Entertainer of the Week, QT Marshall.
Hey, everyone. Lindsay Rhodes here, getting set for the NFL Draft coming up right around the corner. If you, like me, are counting down the days, then you're going to love my podcast. It's called the NFL Roadshow. It's every Thursday, and we are deep in the weeds of the draft these days, talking to experts about the prospect, what your team needs, draft philosophies, team building strategies, all the good stuff that makes us smarter football fans. Hope you'll check it out. Subscribe and listen wherever you stream your podcasts.
Every day is a great day when you're not worrying about your appliances and home systems. And that's what you get with an American Home Shield warranty. Unexpected breakdowns like a leaky faucet or a faulty water heater won't break the bank with an American Home Shield warranty, because covered repairs and replacements are taken care of. Choose a plan that works for you and your budget, and then it's simple. When a covered item in your home breaks, contact American Home Shield, and their trusted and qualified pros will fix it or replace it based on the coverage limits in your agreement. Right now, you can take 20% off. Go to ahs.com/bustedopen now to save 20%. That's ahs.com/bustedopen for 20% off any plan. American Home Shield. Don't worry, be warranted. See ahs.com/contracts for coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty which may be provided by the home builder or manufacturer. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Download EarnIn today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in Busted Open under podcast when you sign up. Busted Open under podcast. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. When you hear that Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, you're probably thinking, what's the catch? Well, there isn't one. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans for just $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bill, and unexpected overages. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. It's crystal clear, and it doesn't kill my monthly budget. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bustedopen. That's mintmobile.com/bustedopen. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bustedopen. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 months plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
The Good Brothers joining us here on Busted Open.
Here we are. The mood has definitely changed. I love it. They cool saunter in. They got the two sweets up. We're two sweetened.
Their glasses on inside.
Yeah, everybody downstairs was laughing at us. But
my jean jacket, my collar's popped. Tommy's looking at me like I'm a real asshole, don't I?
That's a way to come out of the gate with an asshole bomb right on Busted Open.
Well, I heard Dave cussing.
I knew it's satellite radio.
Dave's got great energy today. I heard he's not been having a great day. I love the enthusiasm.
I mean, the laugh he had just last segment. Are we allowed to call it a segment? Last segment, you're just laughing so hard.
This isn't WWE. You can say whatever you want on Busted Open.
Oh, it's a heck of a last segment.
Wow, heck, easy, all right, with the language, okay? We have kids listening right now.
Heck of a last segment. Thanks for having us.
Yes, no, thank you for coming on with us. And you guys do look cool.
Talk
like when you're
me.
You know, you're here in the streets
That's
of New York City, you're walking in the Sirius XM, like I'm sure heads turn because especially outside our studios, people expect celebrities to be walking in, right? And you guys walking in with the sunglasses on, the ball. See, that's how you wear a baseball cap, Tommy.
Reverse.
Get the reverse baseball cap. Look at that, man.
You got to stay hip. I mean, Machine Gun's got designer glasses on. I have glasses on that I stole off my indie wrestler friend's head Saturday night when I had too many beers.
That's at least for my wife, too. I don't ever see. I did buy like a $400 pair of glasses once. And of course they lasted.
And you left them in the hotel.
I left
night.
Them in Dallas one happens. Time, and then the guy, the promoter, shipped them back to me, and then I lost them.
I have a $10 sunglasses.
My wife buys
budget.
Them, then I
I'm
steal
not
them.
I'm not allowed to buy them because they're just gone into thin air.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. When you're a celebrity like you are, $400 pair of glasses, who cares? It's
Dave,
nothing.
Well, sadly, we don't. We should.
Can we come in studio every day and let you just put us over like this?
Did either of you guys have the original Randy Savage Oakleys?
I can tell you Gallo's probably did.
I know. And I'll
well,
you
know
why,
him, though, right?
Because my dad would be like, oh, hell to the no on that. So I probably had some Folkleys that maybe were bought down in Times Square, which, you know, it covers the base. But
I had a pair of pink ones and fluorescent green. And I sat on my pink ones and ruined them with my giant Tommy Dreamer
ass. Does 1992 Tommy Dreamer roll into the building in Oakley's?
Oh,
I think yes.
Guaranteed.
The coolest man walking.
Zubas were around, but it was sweatpants. It was tank tops, sunglasses, fanny packs.
Deal. Yeah, I love it.
Had it all.
I'm waiting for Zubas to come back
in
style.
2022, I am.
Well, we got a bunch of pair of the Zubas, right? They're called Zubas? Zubas?
Yeah.
From Ribera in Tokyo, but finally they stopped giving them to us because
we went too many times. A lot of guys, wrestlers, go, my God, I get to go to Ribera for the first time, but when you go every single week, they go, I mean, all right.
We kept asking for a jacket.
They run out of things to give to you, right?
We like the meat and the wine.
we kept asking for clothes, and they go, oh, Anderson Gallo, you. Many, no more. Oh, sorry.
Maybe finish.
Maybe take home food.
Yeah, something.
Yeah. No more.
Corn soup to go.
But you guys have been everywhere and wrestled everywhere. And now you have a home with Impact Wrestling.
Absolutely.
You can watch Impact Wrestling every Thursday night on Access TV. Also, I have the subscription on YouTube as well.
Ultimate Insiders.
Dude, I'm telling you. And in a lot of ways, and Tommy and I were just having this discussion before the show. Actually, and Kyle, who's one of our videographers, it's one of the best shows on TV, and I'm really feel like we need to scream it out a little bit more on our airwaves because I don't think enough people know about Impact. But consistently, more than any other show, I think you guys put on a great show every week.
And you know, I heard you guys earlier because I am a fan of Busted Open, but I heard you talking about...
Well, if you're listening to today's show earlier, I'm sorry.
Well, even better.
A great point that I heard that
fucking things don't work. Microphones don't work. Headphones don't work. Don't have a fucking computer that works.
Please don't get him started, guys.
I mean, Jesus.
This is better than anything I had to say. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's much better.
No, but we were talking, you guys were talking earlier about diversity in these professional wrestling companies, but you look at what Impact's doing right now. You look at, especially, man, the last 6-8 months, the content coming out, the television product, the pay-per-views, from the intergender matches to the whole wrestling world, from every company everywhere coming in. We just did the multiverse of matches in Dallas, Texas. And I mean, I'm telling you, you can see everything that is professional wrestling under one roof right now with Impact Wrestling. And that's what we love about it, man.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Impact sometimes doesn't get the credit it deserves. Right. I mean, it's, you know, I think people see us now and they see us at Impact. They see that we're having fun. They realize that, you know, pro wrestling is our first love, right? Yeah. That's what we've always loved and always wanted to do. And they see us doing this at a high level and having so much fun. I think they're like, wow, what the fuck are they doing over there? Are they having, let's go see what they're doing. Like, we get text messages.
We get a lot of
guys,
weird calls and messages. How is that?
Like some like top guys and top guys in this business that message us and ask about it. And
sometimes we do these interviews and we make up things about who's coming in and who's not, but you know, we're gonna wish it into existence. Yeah. AJ Styles is debuting next week.
I think Randy Orton's gonna come over soon too.
Sure.
I mean, we've talked about Cesaro joining in the club in creative, so
there we go. Come on in, Claudio.
And there's a spoiler from Tommy Dreamer.
Are you you mentioned the word fun. Are you having fun right now?
We're having fun, man. We did media all day yesterday, and we leaned on Ross, our media guy, all day. But, like, for us, 20 years in, the Mid-Hudson Coliseum, there's so much history in that building. There's so much history in Poughkeepsie. We've never appeared there as an act. And a statistician told me that I've never appeared there under the same name. And one of the last times I appeared there, I was the big XLG, where my wrestling dad and friend Tommy Dreamer yelled at me for 10 minutes for hitting Scott Steiner with a chair, which could have gotten me killed.
Yeah. Yes, Dave, we're having fun. It's been, I think these last 2 years have probably been, besides like our, you know, the Bullet Club and New Japan years. But, you know, our time in WWE was fun, too. Like we made it fun, you know. And sometimes when you go to TV or whatever.
We force fun sometimes.
Yeah, I think no matter what, I think the reason why we work so well is that we enjoy being around each other, right? We're like brothers, so we are brothers.
Business partners,
so
best buddies.
We enjoy being around each other a little bit too much, probably.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that can make Impact a little more fun, I've been saying this in every interview, so I'm going to keep pushing it. We need to sneak back into that overseas market. We need to see Impact Wrestling back in the UK. When I was in TNA years ago, it was one of the hottest places we ever went. And every time we talk to somebody from over there, they go, when is it coming back? So Scott D'Amore, for me, your friend, Drew Hankinson, let's go on a UK tour, please.
Same with Japan. We tore it up when we went. We did a BFG there.
Yep. You guys came to Korakuen and did BFG because we were in Japan at the time.
Oh, yeah. It's time to get back.
Co-host Bubba, I think, lit one of our shirts on fire in the ring or something.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes Festus brain kicks in. It's the Mid-Hudson Civic Center.
No,
we've been trying.
Not the Mid-South Coliseum.
I said
which,
Mid-Hudson Coliseum.
Okay, well, you were combining New Orleans with upstate.
My brain never leaves New Orleans.
He's been calling it a different name for 2 days.
We know what you mean.
Historic, because you'll appreciate this. Yes. I think I may have told you this before. That's where they did Land of a Thousand Dances, right on that very stage. You walked out on that. That's also where King Kong Bundy and
now
Big John Studd cut Andre's hair.
Oh.
And there's a lot of famous things had happened in that room where Money Inc. beat the Steiners for the titles.
Oh, that's great.
There's a bigger behind the scenes that I'll tell you off camera.
Can't wait to hear that. And,
I really want to hear that one.
There you go.
Money Inc. is that Ted DiBiase and
Money, IRS? Money, 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 money.
Mike Rotundo, yes.
Mike Rotundo, yep. You got to remember, too, because I grew up in North Carolina, so I mean, I was a full-blown NWA guy my whole life, right? And then I turned into a WWE guy.
See, I grew up in Jersey, and I was an NWA guy, not a WWF guy in Jersey.
Where did you go watch wrestling in Jersey?
At the Meadowlands.
At the Meadowlands,
and this is why I always say it's probably one of the more underappreciated buildings in pro wrestling, is that I was able to watch. You could go see WWF, obviously, but they had AWA and NWA cards at the Meadowlands.
That's cool.
So I saw... And Tommy and I were both there. We saw Flair and Steamboat. I saw Flair and Harley Race. I saw the Road Warriors against the Koloffs.
That's pretty cool.
It was the first time the Road Warriors ever came up north.
Up north, right?
It was insane. Yeah. And they came out to Iron Man.
That's insane.
I remember like jumping up and down.
I wish I was with you.
You weren't even born probably.
I was a twinkle in a young man's eye, maybe.
It's going to sound like I'm blowing smoke up their asses, Tommy, and that you're going to accuse me of this, and the nation will too. Dude, they both look, they get younger as the year. How is that possible?
Dave.
Like,
Dave,
I'm saying, like, look at how 15 years ago he looked like he was 45.
Listen,
and now he looks like 15. How is that possible?
And now he is 45. He looks
45. Well, that's not true, but I am the Benjamin Button of pro wrestling, so thank you, Dave.
No, I think we both are.
And to the rest of you, be gone.
No matter what people think, we take care of ourselves. You know, you got to keep it tight somewhere, you know?
A long time ago in a land far, far away, I got an 8x10 and a VCR tape of a young wrestler. And I remember asking him how old he was when he told me. How
19,
old are you,
sir?
And he had the full-blown George Costanza hair. And I was like, what? How, you're an adult? I thought he was like a 30-year-old guy. Thought I was hiring somebody in the developmental system that was way too old to be in there.
John Laurinaitis literally goes, we got too many guys with bald heads. Grow your hair in. I said, sir, I don't think it'll grow. And he goes, we'll do it anyway. And then he saw me. You booked me as an extra.
So he saw you a couple months later?
I'm wearing my dad's suit.
Yeah.
And I got George Costanza hair. And I walk in, and this is the epitome of knowing what a wrestling rib is and appreciating his humor now, because he walked up and he grabbed a lock of it. And he goes, oh, it's coming in nice. And I thought, no woman will ever touch me ever again.
How old are you?
I was 20.
Amazing. We had QT Marshall on before, and I was asking about the pandemic and AEW during the pandemic, and what a great job that they did at a very, very tough time. I have to say the same for you two. Like, you talk about having fun. You guys made fun out of a really difficult time with the podcast, with the pay-per-views. Like, you know, did you say, all right, we got time. Let's do something different.
Well, you know, a lot of guys, and, you know, I've been in and out of a lot of wrestling companies. So for him, that had never happened. But for me, the second we got the call, I hung up and I booked us in Peru. I didn't know the world was going to shut down. I called him. I go, we're getting this much from Peru, then we're going to Costa Rica. He goes, what in the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
I said, and we're going to spoof us getting let go, and we're going to make our own pay-per-view in my yard. And he goes, I can't talk to you about this right now. Hangs up. But you got to keep moving, and that's what it is. And we made fun out of it. And I always laugh because we do these interviews, and everybody talks about how bad the pandemic was. And he always says it was my favorite time in all of pro wrestling because doing Impact. And then we're going to AEW, hanging out with our buddies. And at the time, you go to the same hotel. You hang out in catering after the show's over. You have a couple beers. We're kind of having the time of our lives in the middle of this shutdown of the entire world. So we did have a lot of fun.
It was easily the most fun I've ever had in my career.
Wow.
Besides, like, our New Japan times. But the pandemic stuff was, going to Jacksonville with and hanging with our boys, the Young Bucks and Kenny, those are our – we forget –
yeah,
how close we are to those guys.
But once you start laughing again, it's like when I see you after a year.
But
like,
then
you start immediately laughing.
But I think Impact Wrestling did an amazing job in Nashville, you know, during the pandemic and being able to just, you know, wrestle in front of nobody, which I learned to love because there was I had no pressure, brother. So it's like I wasn't nervous. I knew I didn't have to worry about getting the reactions that sometimes you worry. You do a match, right? And you get these pops that you want at the end of the match. Well, sometimes they're not the pop you want. Well, with nobody's in there, you just know it's good.
He would always go, well, I know it was good.
I don't need to hear anybody tell me it wasn't good. It was good. So I love COVID wrestling.
I know it was great. I go, well,
so
I mean,
let's
there's
bring
nothing
it back.
Else I can say to you.
don't say that.
Yeah, please, God.
I will. But, you know, for you, you're telling these great stories about seeing your friends and being able to be around them. For most of us, we weren't able to do that. Like, you know, and for me, like, here we are. I was coming in here every day when the equipment actually worked. But I would come in here. I would come in here every day, and then everything got shut down. And now I'm working from my house. And I remember watching your show, and I'm thinking to myself, like, God, they're having fun. Smiles. And Tommy, you were involved in that as well.
And it
was so unnormal, the show, that it actually brought some normalcy to a lot of fans that were watching it, and people loved it.
Worst
like it was absurd. It was absurd. And people really enjoyed it. So thank you for being able to do that during a really tough time.
I remember you guys having us on during that, and I was like, oh, Bubba's gonna hate hearing about this because he's a very serious wrestler and a bad guy wrestling heel, and I thought, oh, they're gonna hate it. But a lot of the veteran guys who were senior to us, they popped for it because they got the sense of humor behind it, and we were winking at everybody. We weren't making fun of anything. It was a big
wink, fuck, we're just having fun. You know?
My favorite part of all of that, he's the producer, Gallo's the main producer, and he takes a booking to go be an actor on Heels.
Yeah, that was part
during
two.
During that shoot for part two, and I'm like, I get there early. The only person who's walking around his house is Virgil, which is a whole other story.
I thought he was going to AEW.
Yeah. Who thought he was in AEW, and I'm telling him that, yeah, this is AEW, and we're in Gallo's backyard, as well as Gallo's has signs everywhere, go anywhere but not upstairs, and of course, Virgil's going upstairs. Yeah. But I'm like asking, I'm asking where he is, like, oh, well, I won't be, he tells me I won't be there, I'm working on Heels. I was like, what is wrong with you?
I gotta take a crossbody off the
like
top
I'll say,
at 5
yeah.
p.m., sorry.
So Gallo's, you know, doing those pay-per-views, it was hard to work. It was fun, but it was hard,
yeah, that's
right?
Why he won't let us do another one, right?
So he forced us into part two, and then he goes, anyways, guys, I gotta do an acting booking. Like he's an actor for fuck's sakes.
Well,
you know?
I got
Mel Gibson Gallows here.
Well, I was sitting right behind Will Smith when the slap heard around the world. I said, "Will, get up there, get
dude."
Up.
You're the one that egged them on.
I said, get up there, Will. You can
son
take
of a bitch. I knew it because when they first showed him Tommy, see, I knew that. I said this to you
last
week.
I was the
bald
guy poking.
See, because I said this to you, and you didn't believe me. He was laughing when that joke first came out. He was laughing.
Of course he was.
And then the camera goes off him, and then he's going. It was him. He was egging him on. See that you? All you have to do is get that Actors Guild card, and you get access to everything.
Will and I, we have SAG insurance. It's no big deal.
Listen, I can't lie. If I'm sitting in front row, somebody jokes about my wife, I start laughing my ass off.
Oh, she's sticking you.
I look over, and she gives me that look. I'm like, oh shit, I better slap this fool.
I gotta say something. I better say something. Or I'm gonna have a long week.
I got some heat, baby.
We have a full bank of phone calls of people
let's
who want to talk to the.
Let's hear it.
So let's try to get to as many phone calls as possible.
God, I hope it's Bob.
No, Bob is gone. We got Nick in Sheboygan. Nick, what's going on, buddy?
Good morning, good brothers. How are you?
What's up,
Nasty
brother?
Nick, what's up, baby?
I've been a long-time loyal Hoot for a couple of years now.
Oh, now we're talking.
I'm enjoying Talking Shop featuring Dave LaGreca.
Yes.
The only thing missing, actually, the last time you guys were on, I called in the next day and said, you guys got to have them back on as soon as possible. But enough of me chasing the hug.
Oh, we're hugging you.
It's okay. You're,
we're hugging you, baby.
I was going to request impressions, but, like, you guys already fulfilled that request.
I can't stop. I sorry.
A little bit of Toothless Stone Cold. Got to hear some.
That's the Toothless Stone Cold ain't coming up here in this motherfucker on Busted Open. What?
Hey, Don Callis said, dude, he heard Toothless Stone Cold the first time
I said,
ever.
Imagine if Stone Cold's teeth fell out.
Hey, what the fuck going on up in this dumb bitch right now? What?
I mean, he's rich. He's not going to lose his teeth, but if he did, it would be a problem.
Oh. I never saw that one. That's great.
That bitch is so big right here. What? I said, throw me a cold beer. What?
I got a cramp. Fuck. Let me mark out for Stone Cold on their radio show for a minute.
I love the fact that we're literally millions of people listening, and we're just popping for ourselves on the air.
Yeah. It's like a conversation.
Hey,
just
hey Toothless Stone Cold, you like Bang Energy drinks?
Oh, I'd love to have myself a pina colada Bang Energy drink up in this motherfucker.
Nick, you started it. Right. You started it.
There's right, a paper view.
Asking you shall receive.
There's a pay per view.
This is talking top right now. I'm in my glory.
Stone Cold, where's that pay per view?
Oh, that's your bitch is up in Poughkeepsie, 80 miles north of the fucking city.
Oh my God. Everything hurts. Oh shit. I'm stupid laughing
and
on air.
Get yourself in the car. Take a fucking drive.
I'm crying.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. The producer is Gabby Laspisa. The associate producer is Andre Viola. Sound design by Mary Bailon. Special thanks to SiriusXM Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, the legendary Steve Cohen, and SiriusXM Fight Nation Program Director, Mother Marissa Rivas.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.